Boys. It's our Less Than Average Below Par radio show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Stupid management.
The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie.
I just called to say.
So when I was working in a baby shop, I sold a breast pump to Jimmy Barnes.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Welcome to your Tasty Tuesday. I want to call it that tonight.
Tasty Tuesday,
tasty
indeed.
Tuesday.
Bit of pizza going around at this workplace.
Ooh. Thank you.
We had some free, was it Pizza Hut? And then you felt so guilty, Tom. You've rushed down to the supermarket and bought a shite load of fruit.
You have to, you know, even it out.
Yin and yang, you could
Krusty
say.
Krusty pizza.
Hey,
oh, well, don't hold me berries up, producer Tom. Jesus.
Tom, speaking of food and you, people are loving on Instagram and Facebook. I've posted just the side-by-side shot of you and Bubble O'Bill, the ice cream, after Mr. Crazy John, our long-time listener, made a comparison of you and Bubble O'Bill. And people are agreeing. So, look, keep it coming in. Lookalikes.
Bubble O'Bill.
Side-by-sides are becoming a huge thing with you. There's more on Facebook as well. So I'm going to post them as they arise and as they're sent to me.
Okay.
If you can also, if you can top Tom looking like Bubble O'Bill, send it through Facebook, Tom and Ollie. Love that stuff.
We've also got an Instagram and a Twitter as well if you want to get involved there. Tonight, we're going to talk about body dysmorphia in men. That's right. You probably think body image stuff is all to do with the women. Nah, mate. Men get affected by this stuff too. So we'll have Dr. Ben Buchanan, who's done a shite load of research in this area. He's a clinical psychologist. He'll be coming on the show in about 25 minutes' time.
I want to tackle the exact same topic, Tom, of body appearance, but in a far more vapid and shallow way. And ask the question, have you tried to copy a celebrity? Because I have adopted, in the last 24 hours, a certain celebrity's workout to look just like them, and I'm so excited about it.
We'll hear about it next. Rip into this one. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Standing on the outside, cold chisel, it's Triple M's Tom and Ollie. The music is going to keep coming tonight. We've got some Powderfinger, we've got some DMAs, we've got some Melissa Etheridge. It's just going to be a good night of tunes, so stick around at 10 o'clock, I reckon.
Tasty Tuesday, you called it, Tom.
Yep.
Tuesday, even.
Oof.
can we say that?
Don't know.
About a month ago, Tom...
Oh, by the way, we have questions, and we're Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Yeah, well, I have a question. Why did I get such a flacking or a shellacking for deadlifting a small amount of weight about a month ago? What happened there? I mean, I was copping it a bit, wasn't I?
It was just a laughable amount.
Well, it wasn't a huge amount. It was about 65 kgs at the time. Look, you can laugh, but I've since deadlifted more. Yeah, we had a lot of calls coming in saying, a lot of ladies saying I deadlift 100 kgs. And look, good on
you. You know, in my program right now, 100 kgs is my standard.
Is it?
Like, that's like my base weight. You know, if I feel good, I'll go up.
Well, sorry, Tom, but this chat right here, it's not about your workout. It's about my workout, Tom, because I am going to copy a celebrity and I'm going to achieve the exact same success that they achieved because I'm going to do it to the nail. Is that a saying? I'm going to do it exactly right. I don't know if you've seen Fight Club, but I managed to track down Brad Pitt's workout from Fight Club.
Was this from popsugar.com or something? Where did you get this workout from?
No, it's from High Snobiety.
What's that?
HighSnobiety.com. I don't know. I just Googled Brad Pitt's workout. And, you know, we've been talking about a bit of gymming on the show. Mm. We both have been giving it a bit of a crack. But, mate, I'm going to ramp it up because I've found out what Brad was doing. And you've got to agree, he looks amazing in that movie.
In Fight Club.
Fight Club. Plays Tyler Durden.
Well, I can't talk about Fight Club because the first rule about Fight Club is you cannot talk about Fight Club.
I shouldn't have mentioned it, should I?
No, you shouldn't have.
No. The reason why it did tickle my fancy, though, is because Sarah, my girlfriend, has said in the past that her hall pass, if she could have anyone in the world, would be Brad Pitt circa Fight Club, particularly. Not a fan of the Mexican.
Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is... you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Okay.
Well, broke that rule, didn't we? Sorry, Brad. But I don't know if you want to know what he did, but basically Monday, chest day.
All right. Give us a little rundown on what Brad Pitt did to get that body in Fight Club.
The exact workout. Monday, chest day. So heaps of push-ups, three sets of 25 reps. Bench press.
Three sets of 25. Yeah, cool.
Nautilus press, whatever that is. Incline press. Pec deck. So he just smashes one body part. Yeah. Tuesday back, 25 pull-ups, three sets.
Oh, 25 pull-ups?
Three sets to fatigue. to fatigue.
I hate going to fail.
You hate going to fail because you hate failing. Seated rows, lat pull downs.
Okay.
Yeah. Wednesday shoulders, Thursday biceps, triceps, Friday and Saturday cardio. Apparently with the cardio, he does 1 hour of cardio at 90% max heart rate. In the movie, in that moment in time, he has 5 to 6% body fat, I was reading.
I'm at 19.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because we did the x-ray in Albury.
Well, I've dropped since that one, the body scan.
The body scan that showed you had 19%.
No. It was like 22 back then. I've dropped.
From memory, what did I have? Like 13, 14 or something?
Doesn't matter. Anyway,
so I'm gonna mimic it. I'm going to become like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
Don't you have your current gym regime? Why are you overthrowing that one? Our good mate Xavier, he loves the show.
I'm over it. Ooh. But I messaged Xavier saying, man, can this work? He's like, that is an extremely difficult workout. He said, good luck.
Okay.
But he said, happy to help out. You know, eat a lot of food though. I've got to eat a lot of food, a lot of healthy food, which is annoying.
You ate Pizza Hut tonight.
Yeah, well, it starts tomorrow. We're starting tomorrow, Tom. But I want to know this question.
You have to eat like me. You have to have some berries and some orange and kiwi fruit.
Oh, and quinoa and brown rice and chicken.
Correct.
With no flavour.
No, you can add sweet potato in it. It's a complex carb. 133353. You like Ollie. Have you tried to copy a celebrity?
Have you tried to copy a celeb? And maybe it was through a style, like a fashion choice or a haircut. Or maybe you did a workout. Like,
I'm just really channeling Joel Creasy.
Are you? Just a fabulous gay.
Yes.
Where's your TV show? But maybe you've also done like the Rock workout, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't know. Has someone researched that and gone, how do I be that guy? 133353. Have you tried to copy a celebrity?
New music here from the DMAs. It's called Do I Need You Now? We have questions. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. G'day, it's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. What do you think about that track? It's called Do I Need You Now from DMAs. Let us know what you think. Head to triplem.com.au and become a club member and have a say about the music that we play. Very soon we're getting clinical psychologist Dr. Ben Buchanan in to talk about body dysmorphia in men.
I've asked this question. Have you tried to copy a celebrity? Have you tried to mimic a celeb, whether it's through some kind of fashion styling, a haircut, clothing, or if you're like me and you're trying to be Brad Pitt in the famous film Fight Club, where he's a big, sexy badass.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Jeez, I love that line.
Broken that rule already, Tom. But here's a deep thought for you a bit early.
Whoa.
It's not Wednesday, but can I do a deep thought?
Yeah, sure.
If the first rule is don't talk about Fight Club, does that mean, in theory, everyone you've ever met could be in a Fight Club?
Deep thought of the week.
Nice.
Like, even your mum is in a Fight Club. She can't tell you about it.
Well, my mum's not in a Fight Club. My mum didn't let me play Super Smash Brothers because she thought it was a violent video game.
Kirby. The pink ball jumping around, slapping people.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be Brad Pitt, trying to do his workout. That's the plan as of tomorrow. So look forward to the gains, and I'll post accordingly.
You won't believe who's called up, and I don't want to go to him.
Oh, no, we love him. Crazy John's going to answer the question, have you tried to copy a celebrity?
We don't love him.
John, I've just posted your comparison to Tom from back in the day. Who was it again?
Bubble O'Bill. He looks a lot like Bubble O'Bill. Even the stick up to Jaxie's a bit like him. Sorry, no, I didn't go there, no. Right.
Crazy John.
That's not what I called.
Why'd you call, mate?
Mate.
I called because I tried to model myself on one of the top-line professional athletes of our generation.
Oh, yeah?
I've tried to mimic him, tried to do everything he does.
Like what, Ian Thorpe, or who are you talking about?
John Daly.
Who's John Daly?
He's the golfer, you know, the one who has the dart on each hole and eats a pie and has a beer before he goes around.
He's a fat golfer.
Yeah, he's a fat golfer, that's it. And I've tried to model myself on him, and obviously it's gone well.
actually,
Tom, you look a lot like John Daly as well, if you shaved off your mane.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh, but it's funny when listeners call them baggy.
Is it?
Yeah. Like on Facebook, when they comment on the photo of you compared to Bubble O'Bill, Luke said, I'm sure Tom thinks he's a bit more of a golden gay time. What's that about?
Mate, definitely.
Definitely
love a golden
more of a go time. Well, I mean, we can't get to all your calls about the celebs you've tried to copy.
Because there is
no. No, because there are too many.
No, can you tell us about what he used to eat, though? Brad Pitt in Fight Club?
Oh, yeah. Man, the diet's extreme.
So while everyone calls 133353 to talk about how they tried to copy a celebrity.
The article from highsnobiety.com says diet is more than half the battle. allegedly, an average day of eating for Brad Pitt whilst preparing for Fight Club. Yeah. Breakfast, eggs, in brackets, 6 whites, 7 yolks. Surely it's not worth separating that one egg to remove that one white.
Either have 6 eggs or 7 eggs. Don't have 6 whites and 7 yolks.
And 75 grams of oatmeal with raisins. Not exciting breakfast. Occasionally, Pitt would replace the eggs with a protein shake. If his schedule was tight.
Yeah, like porridge.
I like porridge.
Well, that's what oatmeal is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I love
that's
oatmeal.
That's what they call it in the stands.
It gets worse though, Tom. You'll love this. Mid-morning snack, tinned tuna in a whole pita bread, wholemeal pita bread.
Oh, so
tasty. Whole wheat pita bread, they call it. Lunch, 2 chicken breasts with brown rice and green veggies. Mm-hmm. It's just death, isn't it?
No,
it's almost like it's not worth being that healthy because of the sadness that must infuse your life.
And you're going to get the body of Brad Pitt then from Fight Club?
Mark my words, I won't put a time on it, but by later in the year, I will have the rig of Brad Pitt circa Fight Club. Don't buzz me out. I'm telling you.
I'll buzz you out, mate.
Don't buzz me out. I'll be Brad Pitt and you'll be John Daly from that golfing reference from Crazy John.
I don't know that reference.
Neither do I.
No. Oh, well, a couple of millennials here. You were Tom and Ollie. Triple M, we have questions. Melissa, we're at... Melissa Etheridge, bring me some water. Triple M's Tom and Ollie, we have questions. And if you've got questions about why I'm talking like that, I have no answer.
I have a question. How are you employed by this station?
Don't know. Ollie, we're going to get into body dysmorphia not far away, about 10 minutes time or so. Mm. But I came across an amazing Instagram account today.
Okay.
A themed Instagram account.
Oh, better than Tom and Ollie.
Well, yeah, you can actually follow us at Tom and Ollie across Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. But this one might actually require a bit of a content warning because I'm going to say this name once. It is the P word. It's Boomer Porn.
Oh.
Okay. Now
the account's called Boomer Porn.
Whoa! I just said I'd only say it once.
Oh.
So this account is basically getting things that baby boomers like, and they've themed it into the style of like a naughty video streaming platform that you might have read in front of.
Like a pornography.
Oh, just stop saying that.
Oh, it's different. Oh, I thought it was different.
That's fine. So you can see here there's an image. It looks like it's a naughty video website, and on this image is an angry man with a frowning face saying, "Kids today are a bunch of sensitive," and then uses the P word, says man who lost his absolute mind over a ban of plastic straws. So it's having a big go at baby boomers.
Okay, good stuff. The Batuta Advocate, which does a lot of satirical news.
Yes, another one. Mature couple don't care who sees them wildly stripping bare the planet because they'll be dead soon anyway.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's true. It's sad but true.
It's just great. Another one, 3-time divorcee absolutely pounds younger woman about why she isn't married yet.
Even use the language of like a naughty video title.
It's definitely great.
Pounds.
You should definitely get one. I'll give you one more.
I'll try and write one if you want.
Yeah, please write one. I'll say this one more. Mature gang who raised the millennial generation bang on about how millennials are the worst generation ever.
There was the one about...
Sorry, baby boomers. Sorry, mate.
Do you have the immigrants one? Because that was pretty spot on for me. Have you lost it?
No, I've got that
I'll do mine and you find that one. That's my favourite.
Feisty descendant of immigrants tells immigrant that immigrants are destroying country built by immigrants.
Excellent. Excellent. This is based on my own mother's behaviour.
Oh, so that you've written one.
I've written one, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good at this stuff.
Go for it.
Naughty mum likes her holiday snaps so much she posts them 4 times on Facebook. Because you know how.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into body dysmorphia up next.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. The only question we have is how the hell is Home and Away still on air? We'd rather listen to these two. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
If I ask this question, Tom, have you ever felt unsure about your body, had low confidence, low self-esteem in your body shape, your body type? I feel like there'd be a lot of yeses out there.
Oh, you'd win the prize.
For the best question.
Yeah, for the best question, because I feel like a lot of us think about that.
Well, we love to have a deep and instructive chat whenever we can. And tonight we're focusing on what we're calling body dysmorphia. And up next, you're going to hear from Dr. Ben from Monash University, who is a clinical psychologist. And we're going to debunk this theory that body image is more of a female thing. The reality is men suffer as well. So up next, your chance to get involved as well, but also to learn a bit more about body dysmorphia in guys.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's already gone, Powderfinger. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. And if you've never heard this show, we have questions.
And sometimes we like to ask the big questions. We have some fun, but we also want to learn, Tom. And this is a time for learning right now because we have in the studio Dr. Ben, I'm calling him, from Monash University, a colleague of mine, you could say, a collegiate. I did go to Monash University as a student. Does that mean we're colleagues, Ben?
I suppose that's good enough. Yeah.
I mean, I just did teaching and I barely passed. But you're a clinical psychologist and you've got a special expertise in body image and body dysmorphia.
Yeah, that's right. So I did my doctorate in body dysmorphic disorder and got a whole bunch of people who really hated their appearance to the extent that it was absolutely consuming their lives. And we put them in an MRI machine and just were looking at what was happening in their brain that makes them so obsessed with their appearance.
Right.
That's cool. So what is body dysmorphic disorder or body dysmorphia?
So body dysmorphia is a mental disorder where someone thinks that they're disfigured or ugly or they look supremely unattractive when in fact they might look completely normal. And the obsession occurs to such an extent that someone might spend hours at the gym or hours looking in the mirror or hours putting makeup on or hours just grooming themselves and experience this intense shame and feel like they're going to be evaluated by other people.
Wow.
This issue struck me as being very relevant right now when I saw in the same newspaper a study about kids and it was saying that boys suffer equally as girls with this kind of thing.
Absolutely. So with body dysmorphia, it's equal split, men and women, boys, girls. And this is different to some of the other disorders that people might be familiar with. So eating disorders like anorexia are about 90% female, but body dysmorphic disorder, which is a non-weight related concern, is equal split men and women.
And then I was going to say as well, Ben, in this same paper, Husey, obviously a radio presenter himself on a different station, spoke about on air about wanting to address his what he called man boobs. So clearly it's a thing that's becoming a bit more relevant or in the spotlight recently. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think there's a growing awareness of it. I think that men have probably always had body image concerns, but it's becoming more acceptable to speak about it now.
Right.
There's also this thing that is called bigorexia. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so bigorexia is a subtype of body dysmorphic disorder. The technical name is muscle dysmorphia.
Okay.
But I think bigorexia really encapsulates what it is. So we all know with anorexia that it tends to be females who want to starve themselves and get really thin and have this excessive preoccupation with getting really small. Bigorexia is the opposite of that. Generally occurs in men. And it's men who want to get absolutely ripped that might be on the steroids, the protein shakes, doing everything they possibly can and entering in competitions. And it's to the extent where it's getting in the way of them leading a normal life and connecting with their friends and going to work. They get so narrowly focused on this stuff.
We're talking to Dr. Ben Buchanan, who's a clinical psychologist and does some work with Monash University, talking about body dysmorphia. If you do want to join the conversation, by the way, 133353.
So where is the line between, you know, looking after yourself and being appropriately caring of your own physique, but then where does it get too far?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Because, we've got a problem in this country and in fact globally around people not spending enough time exercising. And so it's generally considered a really good thing to be eating well and exercising. And so often people who develop bigorexia will start off having a healthy relationship with their body, a healthy relationship with the gym, and then it ramps up a bit. And they get all this reinforcement, this praise from people. People say, wow, you're looking really good. You know, their confidence increases. And then they take it to the next level. And really the line between healthy and unhealthy is when it starts to interfere with your friendships, with your romantic relationships, or with your work or education.
Mm. Well, Dr. Ben Buchanan, do you mind sticking around? I've got a personal story I want to run past you about when I was 8 years old. It was something that an older man said to me about my body. But if you've got a question about body dysmorphic disorder, or you want to get involved in the conversation, 1-333-53, give us a call.
Share your thoughts, your experiences, and Dr. Ben, stick around, more questions.
You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Lonely Boy, the Black Keys, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions very soon. We'll ask the one about, did the typo cost you?
Right now, we're joined by Dr. Ben from Monash University, clinical psychologist and expert in body dysmorphia, particularly with a focus on men. But during that song, you were just saying, Tom, that Ben's got great microphone technique.
Oh, Ben, your
and
microphone.
You said you've done some radio in your time as well.
Yeah. I was on CineFM, you know, back in the day, community radio when I was a student.
That's in Melbourne. That's where we started.
Oh, whoa, really?
Yeah, there you go.
And look how far you've got.
Yeah, no. Where did your career end up?
I'm in the basement at Monash.
Hey, if you've got any questions about body dysmorphia, or body image stuff, 1-333-53, ask Dr. Ben. Now, Dr. Ben, I want to get to how we can fix body dysmorphia, how it's treated. But a personal story for me, when I was 8 years old and I was getting changed at the beach in one of the change rooms, like a 40-year-old man said to me, and this stuck with me, which is frightening, but he said, those boobs are so large, you should have a bra. And that just like stuck with me, and I was distraught. And now since then, I've had huge issues with the size of my man boobs, some could call them, or breasts, or whatever you want to call them.
don't cry. It's okay, Tom.
Is it body dysmorphia? Does it come from childhood stuff? Where does it stem from? How does it kind of?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that cause it. Certainly, childhood experiences is a major one. And people who go on to develop significant body image issues do report high incidences of things that you've mentioned. Most people in their childhood will experience, you know, teasing around body image in some way. But it does seem that the more of it you experience, the more likely you are to not be able to shake that off as you grow older. And it's interesting that you mentioned that you know, that one comment really stuck with you. And to this day,
it was traumatic.
How often do you think about your man boobs?
A lot.
Like every day?
Every day. If somebody touches me around where my man boobs are, I get really uncomfortable. Mm. And I'm quite an outgoing person as well.
Is it bad to joke about that on radio, do you think? Because I have teased Tom in the past about it.
It's bad to tease Tom about it. Yeah. Don't tease Tom. Yeah. But I think it's really important just to get this stuff out in the open. Lots of men are self-conscious about their man boobs.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that one experience has stuck with you. And the way that the brain works is that we tend to remember very distressing events better than very boring events. Mm. And that event, you were 8 years old, you were in a change room, this strange man, it sounds like you didn't know him.
No, I didn't know him.
Didn't know him. He comes up to you. You'd probably been, you know, been warned about strange men in change rooms before.
Yeah.
And then for him to give you that uninvited comment, that must have been really distressing.
It's an absurd and like psychopathic comment just to throw out when you don't know someone. Yeah, a stranger.
I remember my mum saying, what a stupid man. What type of adult would say that to a child?
Yeah.
We're talking to Dr. Ben Buchanan, clinical psychologist and expert in body dysmorphia.
So, Ben, what happens when clients come in to see you? And I want to know, what kinds of folks do you get in? Do you get in people who are really fit or people who aren't fit but want to be fit? Like, what kind of people? Yeah.
So most people with body dysmorphic disorder or bigorexia usually have it for years before they seek help from a psychologist. So usually they'll spend a few years in the gym. They might even visit cosmetic surgeons to get breast reductions or cheek fillers or whatever it might be. And so usually there's a protracted period of being in denial and people not actually realizing or acknowledging that they've got a mental disturbance.
Right.
Because they wholeheartedly believe that it's actually a physical defect.
Right.
And so by the time they get into my office, they've usually done some of the work themselves. They've usually acknowledged, right, I need to see a psychologist. I don't need to see a cosmetic surgeon or a personal trainer or take more steroids.
Yeah.
They're usually at the point where they're saying, right, this is in my head.
And so what do you do?
Yeah, how do you treat it?
So often, so the treatment is called cognitive behavior therapy, or CBT for short. And it's a treatment where we're trying to what's called cognitively restructure how that person is thinking about their body.
Wow.
Often people organize their entire life around their appearance. And so when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they'll think about is,
what am I going to wear? What, you know, how does my hair look?
Exactly. Yeah. And what, how much protein they're going to get, and who they're going to see that might judge their appearance. And so what we're trying to do is acknowledge that being attractive, being good looking does matter in our society. Let's face it. It does matter. It is helpful. But that it only matters a bit.
Right.
And my job as a therapist is not to get them to think that they're really good looking. My job is to help them come to terms with the fact that they might be just normal looking.
Right. Yeah, great. 133353. Have you got any personal stories about this? Do you think you've been through some body image issues yourself? We'd love to hear from you. 133353. We've got Dr. Ben Buchanan in here, clinical psychologist, talking about body dysmorphia and body images in men. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. It's new from Paul Kelly. It's called With the One I Love. Triple M's Tom and Ollie off his upcoming album called Nature, which I'm very looking forward to.
Yes, Tom, we're talking about body image issues with Dr. Ben Buchanan from Monash University and also from the Foundation Psychology Victoria. Is that what you say, Ben?
Yeah, Foundation Psychology Victoria.
Interesting. So you can see Ben if you do wish to pursue this kind of this route if you have body image issues. Mm. But I wanted to ask you...
And I'm guessing your GP is the best port of call, first of all.
Yeah, look, if anyone has... you know, any of the discussion tonight really resonates with anyone, and they're thinking, man, yeah, I've got a distorted body perception. Probably the first thing to do is to research a psychologist that specializes in this, and then go to your GP and ask for a referral to that psychologist.
Right. Yeah, cool.
We're going to get to your questions on 133353, but Ben, before we do, we just clarified before that men and women suffer in some ways equally with this thing, these days particularly. Has that changed? Did men used to be immune to this stuff and society's made them more cognizant of body image issues, or we just know about it more?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that traditionally... men took pride in their body, about the function of their body, how strong they were, how much they could lift. And I think as our society changes and we actually need our bodies less for functional reasons, it becomes a more aesthetic thing.
Right.
I do think that men have had body image issues for centuries, but it's just that now we're talking about it more.
Yeah. If you have a personal story about body image issues, or you've got a question for Dr. Ben, 133353. Cameron, you've got a personal story.
Yes, I do, guys. Thanks, yeah.
Why don't you tell Ben?
Yeah, no problem. Like, I was always a chubby kid growing up. My mum's side were always, they're all large women, so I was really big growing up and always conscious of it. My brother used to tease me because my boobs were bigger than his girlfriend's.
Oh, yep.
You know, I had girlfriends saying, oh, look at the beach whale. I had a teacher say the same thing when I was swimming at the beach. I looked like a beach whale. So, yeah, things were really hectic. You know, then we'd go out to the movies with my mates and they'd be like wanting to pick up chicks and I'd be like, no, it's all right, I'm going to go home. And they'd say stuff like, it's okay, can I come with us? It's a fat ugly one. I'd be like, oh, God, seriously, how disrespectful to the girl. But secondly, guys, come on, man.
So what changed, Cameron?
I got to, you know, teenage adolescence and thought, you know what, I'm going to lose this weight. I feel very unattractive. And I actually went on a diet and I was very disciplined, actually. And I managed to lose quite a lot of weight in a very short period of time. I was 110 kilos when I was 15. And I got down to 67 kilos. But what happened along the way is that I wasn't exercising, so I was still flabby. It was just all diet, it was all intake.
Mm.
So I still felt fat and flabby. And it was actually my mum that said to me, "Go, you've got to hold up, mate. You're looking anorexic." And I didn't even realise because I just saw flab.
And I think that that's a really interesting point, in that sometimes we can overcorrect. You know how, like, if you're fishtailing a car and you're sliding one way, you can overcorrect and go the other way and spin out completely. The same thing can happen with our eating habits.
And thank you so much for sharing, Cameron. 133353 if you'd like to get involved. Jay, what's your story?
Hey, Matt, how you going? Love your voice.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, I've got a story about me, mate. I've got a hair loss since childhood, and it's so bad that, like, you could see through my scalp, even though I've got hair in other areas.
Yeah.
But so it got to a point where I was bullied at school, being called baldy and whatnot. So, but I think I've always, my mum used to, like, you know, say, positively reinforce me, saying, oh, you know, you don't really have hair loss. It's just that your grandfather or your somebody had a bad hairline and you just got those kind of genes. But at a certain age, at 19 or something, I just came to terms saying, this is who I am, and I don't think so I should be really worried about what my hair looks like.
And hey, well done, Jay, for coming to terms with that and saying, and it sounds like you came to, well, accept it rather than be ashamed of it.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, my girlfriend has bad hair loss now, and she's really, really conscious. And I just kind of try to see a bigger picture than that, because I just kind of remind her that that's nothing. You just got to see past that. You're intelligent and you're beautiful. So
is that part of it, Dr. Ben? It's about getting a bit of a bigger picture view and going, hang on, let's not stress too much.
Absolutely. So we know that hair loss is an issue that many men face, and, you know, it's real. And some people can cruise through their hair loss okay. But there's other people who, and I see lots of people like this. This is people dealing with hair loss, whether it be real hair loss or imagined hair loss. Lots of people imagine that they're losing their hair.
Wow.
Can spend hours and hours and hours on the internet researching what to do, spend hours in the mirror looking at their scalp and combing their hair and checking if their hair's falling out by running their fingers through their hair. And so hair loss can cause intense anxiety for people.
Yeah. 133353. If you've got a question for Dr. Ben Buchanan, clinical psychologist, we're talking about body dysmorphia and body image issues. Tim, you've got some questions around terminology and terms.
I do for Dr. Ben. It's, I guess, in the era that we live in at the moment, where everything's kind of, you know, there's blurred lines in terms of what's male or what's female, what's the right term, what's the wrong term. And that whole conversation that you guys were having about man boobs, and what Dr. Ben was saying in terms of, it's not about having somebody accept the fact that they're different. It's having them come to terms with maybe they're actually just normal. But if we continuously use terminology that suggests it's abnormal, doesn't that itself cause the problem? Like, if you call something a man boob, you don't call it a female boob, you just call it a boob. So by calling it a man boob, you're inadvertently just making it an abnormal feature in itself.
Yeah, right. I think that the language you use can absolutely stigmatize what we're talking about. I suppose I felt like it was okay in that context to use the term man boob, because Tom had used it in context for himself. And look, I think that I think that we've got to be sensitive around the terminology we use, but at the same time, we've got to be descriptive and be real and not pussyfoot around it as well.
Yeah, great stuff. 133353. If you've got a question for Dr. Ben, a personal story you'd like to share about body image.
Yeah, good, Tom.
Not body images.
No.
It's a different thing. I've got lots of them on my phone. 133353 with Tom and Ollie on Triple M, talking to Dr. Ben. It's Living Colour on Triple M with Tom and Ollie. Love rears its ugly head. Very soon we're going to ask the question, did the typo cost you? But in the meantime, it sounds very trivial, because in the meantime, we are talking to Dr. Ben Buchanan from Monash University. He's a clinical psychologist and is an expert in the field of body dysmorphia. You've done a whole bunch of studies in this stuff, and it's really interesting stuff, especially when you've put them through MRI machines.
Yeah, MRI machines. We were interested to know with people who have an obsessive preoccupation with how they look, what's actually going on in their brain that's a little bit different to people who have a normal relationship with their body?
Is it the hippocampus or what?
Very close. Oh, you know, your brain region.
That's like that's like the mini brain inside the brain.
Yeah, it's the region right next door to the hippocampus called the amygdala, which is the brain's alarm system.
Oh, the amygdala. Yeah, please. Hey, Shane on 133353, you've got a personal story about body image.
Yeah, hi guys, how you doing?
Good, mate.
Good. I'll just say, just listen to your story and listen to what you're doing tonight. I know probably as guys, we don't probably talk about a lot, but I mean, as a younger guy, I come out of, I guess, my first relationship, and I'm probably self-diagnosed a little bit of bulimia because I went through a sort of a period there, especially coming out of that relationship where I just basically was vomiting up all my food. Like, I honestly, I was just became mentally, I wasn't even sort of forcing myself, but like, I literally, I think it was for the best period of 6 months.
How old were you, Shane, at the time?
I was probably early 20s, so probably 21.
Wow.
First girlfriend, you know what I mean, sort of young guy and sort of, you know, brain's probably not quite developed enough. I believe I was cheated on at the time. And, yeah, sort of, I guess that all sort of stems that, but as I was talking about body image and thought, you know, you're not good enough and that kind of stuff. And I'd lost a fair bit of weight through that.
Yeah. And Shane, thanks for calling in. I think that, you know, what you just said there about not feeling good enough is the core of many of these body image issues. Just having a sense that we're not enough, we're just a bit crap, that people around us, if they truly knew how bad we were, that they'd reject us. And that's, we see that time and time again with people with eating disorders, body dysmorphic disorder. There's shame and guilt that just riddles people.
Is there a healthy amount of wanting to look good, Dr. Ben?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that it's completely natural to want to look good. And we know that being good looking does confer particular sorts of benefits in society.
More likes.
more likes on Instagram likes. In particular.
Follows.
And so I think that's really natural. But I think we've got to have a diversified basis for our self-esteem. If you base your self-esteem on just one thing, whether it's your looks, whether it's your career, whether it's how good you are at footy, then when that one thing falls over and you take a hit on that, which you inevitably will, then your self-esteem crumbles. So we've got to have a diversified basis for our self-esteem.
Yeah, don't just judge it all on the Insta likes.
That's a really good point, Ben. I like how you said that thought of, am I not enough? Because if you allow me to go full intellectual for a second, my favorite author, David Foster Wallace, he says that the human's like fundamental fear is that as humans, we're not enough, we're not good enough.
Mm.
And it's amazing how that even can speak to things like body image and all these kind of mental health areas.
Mm. And I think that, you know, in my clinical practice, when I'm speaking with people, that term, I'm not good enough, I'm failing, comes up time and time again. And, you know, I suppose my approach with that is to extend yourself the same sort of kindness that you would give a good friend.
Mm.
Acknowledge when you are failing at something. But then if your friend failed at something and said, hey, I think I'm fat and ugly, you wouldn't say, yeah, you are, or yeah, you should lose weight. You'd say, hey, that's all right. You've got all these other great things about you.
Well, Ben, Waz has a question based very much on what you're just saying there. Waz, what's your question for Ben?
Yeah, good evening. I'm good on you talking about this topic. So at the gym, you know, I've been going for a few years and there's people who I've got to know who are pretty shredded, you know, very fit, very built. And, you know, they talk about, you know, feeling crap about their bodies after a few days of not going to the gym, you know, talking about going into depression, they've lost size. And, you know, I stand there having tried, you know, many years going from obese to, you know, a bit slimmer and thinking to myself, that's the dream body. And when you tell this person or these people, you know, oh, no, you look great, they think you're lying. So then what's the correct approach? What do I tell them?
Yeah. Look, I think that that's a really good point. And when people are obsessively preoccupied with their appearance and they think they're not enough, they think they're not big enough, reassuring them that they actually do look good won't work.
Yeah.
It won't work at all. So people come into my office all the time and they're really ripped, you know, just so ridiculously ripped. And they've had their girlfriend say they're ripped. They've won competitions. Their mom says they're ripped, but they don't believe it.
Yeah.
They just don't believe it. And so I personally will never, ever try and reassure someone that they're ripped. Yeah. What I'll ask is, well, why do you, why does this matter so much to you? And when you get down to it and drill down to it, becoming super fit is often about compensating for deep feelings of inferiority.
Hey, Dr. Ben Buchanan, wow, clinical psychologist who works at Monash University, mate, amazing stuff. Thank you so much for coming in and talking body image with us.
That's a pleasure.
And we'll put some info up on our Facebook page if you do want to know more. Stick around. There's some trivial stuff with Did the Typo Cost You up next.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
So awesome to chat body issues with Dr. Ben Buchanan. Hey, if you think, if you want to relive that conversation, or if you think someone should hear about that, you can always catch up via the Triple M app. The full show will be on the podcast around about 10:15.
I've just posted a photo of us hanging out with Ben, Dr. Ben. Great stuff. See the photo or see the side-by-side shot of Tom and a Bubble O' Bill, which is going off on Instagram and Facebook.
It's funny that we're talking about body image issues and you're comparing me to a Bubble O' Bill ice cream.
Hey, not me. It was Crazy John, a listener. And not your body, just your face. Minus the hat of the ice cream man. And on Instagram, Kasamasuki said, I don't even know which one's Tom. Can't tell what's going on.
Okay.
So, good stuff there.
You won't believe what a public servant in the Northern Territory has been paid after a bungle with a decimal point.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Typos.
Typos, Ollie.
Aren't they hilarious?
It's revolutionary radio. It's coming up next. An overpaid public servant. I mean, it's got all the stuff of legends. You with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Faith No More with their epic Triple M's Tom and Ollie, and the music keeps coming tonight. We've got new Dean Lewis to play for you, as well as Solid Rock Goanna. Yes, please. Stick around. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Have you ever done a typo and it's cost you? That's what I want to know on 133353. That's my question. I don't know if you heard about this Northern Territory public servant, Ollie, but the Auditor General has been out again, auditing generally.
What is an Auditor General? I don't know what they do.
I suppose they're the state's auditor.
Sounds like the Governor General, who does the election.
Governor General?
Well, the Prime Minister signing in. They do the official duties in government, like the Queen stuff. They go, yep, Queen says do this. Yep, well, I'll do it because she's not here.
Does that mean they're kind of more powerful than the Prime Minister?
No, because their role is just a joke.
Right, okay.
And the person doing the job knows that he's got no real job.
Well, there's this guy called the Auditor General, right? He has revealed that one public servant, that's right, a public servant, let's get outraged, has accidentally been overpaid almost $500,000 in one single transaction.
So this guy's gotten overpaid because of an error, Tom. And we won't say the figure just yet. Okay. I want to just touch on the point that I feel like what you've done here, Tom, is that you've latched onto the phrase public servant.
Yep.
You find that quite funny. Why do you find the phrase public servant, you know, excitable?
Well, I don't, but I know that a lot of the general public find public servant being overpaid is great. It's like, oh, someone in the government's being overpaid and taken away from my tax dollars?
Sounds like a Liberal voter, doesn't it? Good on him. Trash Talk About Tuesday. We're going to get political, by the way. So Liberals, watch out.
Great tease. An incorrectly placed decimal point saw their bank account not go up by $4,921. No. $492,000.
Is that his monthly paycheck, the $4,900? Because that's more than us. That's annoying.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh my God. And it's a public service.
Bloody public service people. They don't even do anything.
So the worker had to repay the money 4 weeks later as well. So there's nothing worse than receiving a lump sum of money and having to pay it back. But here's where it gets boring. The Auditor General, right? They sound boring enough. But listen to this boring statement that he's put out.
Oh, please tell us.
The cause of the overpayment was a combination of two different human errors, those being the erroneous initial data entry and a subsequent failure to adequately address a system-generated alert.
Oh.
I mean, Ollie, you studied English. What could the Auditor General have said?
Who wrote this? The ABC?
ABC.net.au.
Well, that phrase could just be, two people cocked up. Basically. So good work making it more boring than it needs to be.
Look,
but that's the Auditor General's job.
Typos can cost you. I remember a famous one that you'll bring us next, Ollie, about KitchenAid appliances. But 133353 has the typo cost you? Maybe you printed the invites and it was an expensive... What?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because we had probably, 100 plus amazing callers before about body dysmorphia. And now we're facing the possibility of getting one call of someone going, yeah, I did a typo once, lost me $10. But hey, that is our bed and we will lie in it. You call up 133353. Tell us about your costly typos. And yes, I will share a KitchenAid disaster.
This is the new one from Dean Lewis. It's called Be Alright. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Be All Right, Dean Lewis. Let us know what you think about that new track at triplem.com.au. You just become a club member and have a say about the music on your Triple M. G'day, we're Tom and Ollie. We have questions all the way through to 10 o'clock. Not far away is Trash Talk Back Tuesday. We're talking politics on that one. You'll have your say, but 133353. We're asking, did the typo cost you?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Jeez. It might be a wedding invite. It might have been something work-related where you printed out lots of things.
How would a wedding invite cost you money?
Because if you put the wrong date on the wedding invite, and wedding invites are quite expensive.
Oh, and you've got to reprint it.
You have to reprint.
I thought you meant if you accidentally wrote, please give us a gift worth $5, and you meant to say $50.
No.
No, you didn't mean that. We'll get to your stories pretty soon, of which there are a couple. there is a story, Tom. This is quite funny, from KitchenAid, the guys who make a whole lot of kitchen appliances, mixers and whatnot.
Oh, mate, they're expensive as well. They're expensive appliances.
The founder, John Winning, his name is...
Was he winning when he did this?
He told the Gladstone Observer about his predicament late this year, when he misprinted the price of a KitchenAid mixer. He wrote on it that it was valued at $281 on the website,
yeah,
actually worth $800. And in 12 hours, he sold 190 mixers at the wrong price, meaning it was about $100,000 worth of KitchenAid mixers that he was at a loss with. And he's like, well, I've got a question here. Do I disappoint hundreds of customers or write off the loss? So in the end, it was pretty simple. Disappoint the customers.
Coles did one as well with beer. Remember that you could get a $5 slab? Do you remember that one, Ollie?
It was an accident.
Yeah, there was an accident where you could get a $5 slab and they're like, people ordered like 100 slabs. Yeah. And they're like, oh no, what have we done?
Oh, it's so good when like big companies stuff up
so
and lose out.
Oh, just getting involved in a typo. So much fun. Hey, Michael.
How you going?
Good. Mate.
How are you?
Oh, mate, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Oh, you sound like it. You sound like it, Michael. And you've been overcharged by someone?
No, I overcharged somebody else.
Oh, good. Oh. Better.
I used to run a hobby shop. This is about 7 or 8 years ago.
Cool.
Week before Christmas, guy ordered some mail order stuff, manually processed his credit card, put it through for, instead of $350, it was $3,500.
Oh.
But 2 days later, he rings me with the shit, half abusing me, saying, what the hell's going on, mate? You got $3,500 on me charge. Hmm. I'm thinking, oh, sorry, mate. His wife was going nuts at him. They were in somewhere to buy a betting suite, and when they swiped us through for the betting suite, the card had maxed out.
Declined.
And it was declined,
yeah,
because of the $3,500.
More typo stories. Let's get through them, Tom.
Oh, 100%. Hey, Helena. Helena?
Hey, how are you?
Helena? Helena?
Yeah, Helena.
Helena.
Helena. I knew a Helena, so that's interesting. You're Helena.
Well, it's either, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'll go Helena.
Okay, cool. Helena, what was your typo?
I worked for a government department myself, and let's just say that my typo was that I paid the wrong person $7,500.
Bloody public servants, Helena.
I know.
Taxpayers' money.
The worst part was... You know, the great thing about government departments, we have to take ownership. So I had to then ring that person and tell them that I had wrongly paid them.
Oh.
And that I, like, you know, it was now recoverable. It was terrible.
They made you just embarrassingly front up.
Yeah, well, of course. You've got to take ownership for it one way or another. But...
Well, what? But it's the government. Yep, don't take ownership. You just shirk it. That's what everyone does in Parliament.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's like Parliament question time. With less name calling.
You have a face like a kicked in biscuit tin, Tom.
Oh, maybe not. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
It's time, Tom, to open up the AM channels as we channel our FM radio stations to the talkback stylings of AM.
Ah, piss off, you dickhead.
You're a f-wit. I've just spoken to a f-ing idiot.
Tom and Ollie's Trash Talkback Tuesday.
Bringing that trash in here.
Now, watch out, Tom, because today's topic is politics. And normally from me,
I don't
Tom,
care.
Normally from me, what you'd get in the past is impartial journalism. I would always try and present a fair view.
Fake news.
But no more. After last week's events, the gloves are off, Tom.
Don't be rude.
My gloves are off. I'm going to fight dirty.
What?
After institutions like Sky News, 2GB, the big dogs, the shock jocks, the idiots like Alan Jones and Ray Hadley have been spouting their agenda. Mm. It's time that they were called out, a la Chris Uhlman. You'll hear it next from
Chris Uhlman.
He's a reporter who called them out. But forget about Chris, because it's me you should be scared of. Because up next, as I said, it's time to play dirty.
Wow, good stuff. Sorry, I didn't know when to speak. This is Solid Rock Goanna. Stick around. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We have questions. It's Solid Rock Goanna. Triple M's Tom and Ollie after 9 o'clock. Things get naughty. We're going to discuss if you've been given a hall pass. But look, it's time to turn that FM dial all the way around to the disgusting trash talk back of AM.
Piss off, you dickhead.
You're a f***wit.
I've just spoken to a f***ing idiot.
Tom and Ollie's Trash Talk Back Tuesday.
Bringing that trash in here.
Watch out. Things can get fire in here. Someone call the fire department.
Tom, no time for gags here. And sorry, I would put it to you that Naughty After Nine might just get delayed tonight, because things are going to get fiery, Tom. I said before, the gloves are off. From where I'm standing, no more Mr. Nice Guy. No more, oh, I'm impartial. I'm going to explain politics so everyone understands it.
Yeah, it's good.
And,
I like
and
that.
Everyone gets an equal chance. No.
Oh, my God.
Because that's not what we're getting from AM conservative shock jocks in this country. Mm-hmm. And so I will not stand by and not use our platform here, although it's not as big, Tom and Ollie Night Show on Triple M. I will still try and shout just as loud to get a message across, Tom.
You're not going
to
just drivel about politics here, are you?
No, it won't be drivel. All I'll say is this, conservatives.
What?
All I'll say is this, conservatives come at me on 133353, because I'm getting a bit confused now. But I want to alert you to Chris Uhlman, who spoke to the Today Show.
Who's that?
He's a journalist. He spoke to Carl and Georgie, I believe it is. And what he did here, what Chris did was, he explained the very issue that we have in this country with politics mixing with journalism, and I'll let him do the talking here.
News Corporation, so we're talking about the Australian, Daily Telegraph and all of those tabloid newspapers around the country, 2GB in Sydney, led by Alan Jones and Ray Hadley, and Sky News in particular, with its evening lineup, are waging a war against the Prime Minister of Australia. Apparently, if you say that to them now, they get their knickers in a huge twist. Now, if they want to be players in this game, which is apparently what they are, then they're part of this story. So all I'm saying is, if they want to dish it out, they should be prepared to take it. And they're among the biggest bullies in the land. Mm. And it's about time that people call them out for what they are. And if they don't like that, then they can come after me.
That is respected journalist Chris Uhlman from the ABC and now Channel 9. And what he's doing there is he's putting a line in the sand, Tom, particularly to journalists, or rather commentators on radio shows like 2GB, Alan Jones, Ray Hadley, Sky News in particular, with a panel like Peter Credlin and all Tony Abbott's cronies. The issue is, Tom, too many crusty old men, like the guys I just mentioned, are having a say and having a sway on where this nation goes, particularly on things that matter to people who are going to be around in 30 years' time. Hint, hint, not those guys. The environment is currently at a crux point, and you've got guys like Ray Hadley saying things like less renewables. He's calling up Peter Dutton to get into parliament. These guys are literally making phone calls to choose who gets into power.
Didn't Ray Hadley also say this?
I've just spoken to a f***ing idiot.
He did. He's that kind of guy.
Right, okay.
Now, imagine, Tom, for a second, you calling someone in parliament and having some kind of sway where you get to choose who becomes the next prime minister.
I would.
Great. Glad I asked.
Tom, what iPhones for everyone.
No, what I'm saying is it's not on that these old men have such power. And so I'm going to come out and say, no. What happened to Malcolm was, as he said, an insurgency. It was disgraceful. It was an undermining of democracy, as Kevin Rudd has called it. And I refuse to sit by and let conservatives steer this country, who are a vocal minority, Tom. They are louder than everyone else because of these platforms, because of News Corp, etc., Murdoch Media, and it's not on. So conservatives, come at me. If you love Abbott, If you love Dutton, if you wish that Peter Dutton was in power, being able to say that less immigration, we don't need as much immigrants filling up this country, come at me. 133353 is our number. It's Trash Talk Back Tuesday. I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone. I don't care anymore. I've had enough.
All right. You've heard it, conservatives.
Do you follow, Tom?
Nope. I don't know what you just said for the past 4 minutes. 133353. Get involved, though, on whatever is happening here. This is Remedy Black Crows. It's Trash Talk Back Tuesday, you pig. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. It's Remedy Black Crows, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. If you can't get in touch on the phones on 133353, then get involved on the social networks, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Tom and Ollie. Ollie, you've been getting a little bit...
I'm fired up, Tom. I've had enough of the AM shock jocks and the idiots in this country who think they can dictate where our country goes because they have a microphone, and I will not stand for it.
Piss off, you dickhead.
You're a f***wit.
I've just spoken to a f***ing idiot.
Tom and Ollie's Trash Talk Back Tuesday.
Bringing that trash in here.
It can get quite trashy on a Tuesday as we turn the dial to AM, but Ollie, you can also get a little bit tongue-tied. I just want to play you something that you said just before the song there.
Don't All I'll say is this, conservatives...
What?
All I'll say is this, conservatives come at me on 133353. Because I'm getting a bit confused now.
Good on you, mate, saying the phone number twice. Yeah, you know what that actually reminds me of?
Just getting it right.
It reminds me of the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, ex-Prime Minister, I should say, his last ever media conference. Take a listen.
I'll be leaving the Parliament not before too long. Okay, as I've always said, I've been very clear about that. It's not a secret. Now, I'm just going to go to Chris Yuleman. See here? No? Okay, all right.
Is Chris Yuleman in? No, he's not.
I watched that video. Well, Chris Yuleman has inspired a lot of this conversation, Tom, after he named and shamed and outed the conservative right-wing media in this country.
And if you're a fan of the Malcolm Turnbull overthrow, 133353.
Yeah, I said conservatives come at me. That was my my call out there.
Well, you kind of said it.
Conservatives is probably a more appropriate title. But the question is also, if you weren't a fan of the Malcolm Turnbull overthrow...
A friend.
Then, mate, you can't contain passion. If you weren't a fan of that overthrow, that insurgency that happened, then also get on the phone because I've named and shamed Alan Jones, Ray Hadley, and I will keep going. People like Tony Abbott and his crony Peter Credlin on Sky News, these people, Tom, seek to undermine democracy in this country.
Let's unleash the trash talk back, Ollie. 133353, you pig. Can we go to John?
No, I'm not done yet. Tony Abbott, the man, I'll remind you, whose answer to climate change...
I'm shutting you down here, mate. You've said your bit. Let's go to John. G'day, John.
How you going?
Ollie's asked for the Conservatives call up. Would you call yourself Conservative, John?
No.
Good.
Okay, well, I said Conservatives or Conservatives come at me. John, what do you want to say?
Oh, just I'm wrapped. Malcolm Turnbull got thrown out.
Yeah. Okay. Why is that?
He's done nothing for the country.
Okay. And absolutely. Do you know why he could do nothing for the country?
Do I know why?
Yeah.
Oh, just by watching the news and everything. And
here's why, mate. Because of the idiot cronies in his party who hamstrung him and wouldn't allow him to pass any legislation because they don't understand that democracy is about communal choice.
Okay, but the legislation that they wanted to pass that I didn't like was the tax cuts for the banks.
Yeah, well, you're probably on my side then, mate, because it sounds like that you're more of a left-wing kind of guy.
All right, cool.
This is trashy, isn't it?
Sorry?
Let's go to Marcus then. Marcus, are you a conservative, or how did you feel about the Malcolm Turnbull overthrow?
You pig.
So, at the moment, I'm in half and half. Now, I was in agreement that Malcolm Turnbull got booted because what we need to have in here in Australia is we need to have that open discussion to actually have an input into how Australia, it's my Australia, it's your Australia, how our Australia is run. Now, yes, we have old policies and so forth, and we've got politicians that are very old school.
Mm. Now, and they're beholden to shock jocks like Alan Jones and Ray Hadley. How do you feel about that?
I actually do like those gentlemen because they do speak the truth. But there is a lot of stuff that gets spoken about where the younger generation, I'm 36, I still still consider myself quite young.
Yep.
We actually are not listened to one bit.
No.
Now, one thing that I do agree with is we need to start using coal-fired power stations because we in Australia need that
more greenhouse gases in the environment, do we?
But, yes, okay, yeah. Now, also, I'm an academic as well.
Right,
so,
okay.
And again, I do support the whole renewables and all that. But what are the other countries doing? Absolutely nothing. So, if they're not
going
to do it...
Hey, Marcus, ever heard of leadership, mate?
Yeah, we do need to have leadership.
Yeah,
but
we can also lead as a country who has a wealth of resources while we revert to coal as if we're some backward nation in the 50s.
But can we afford it?
Well,
no, we can't.
Well, we can, because everyone's doing pretty well right now. I mean, people aren't dying.
Well, exactly. And if you look at the studies and so forth from Monash Uni, it does state that if we actually adopted a lot of what the Paris Accord was actually suggesting, our actual output would be 0.006%, so which is absolutely diddly squat.
It's about applying pressure to other countries to also get involved. So your argument that we can't afford to save our own globe doesn't stack up for me, but thanks for the call, Marcus.
133353. If you're a fan of the Malcolm Turnbull overthrow, Ollie wants to go head-to-head with you in Trash Talk Back Tuesday.
Sounds like
I am right now. You with Tom and Ollie. Triple M, we have questions. Gang of Youths, let me down easy. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Naughty After Nine, not far away. We'll be talking... Randy animals, that's probably the best way to put it. Look, we have questions, and on a Tuesday night, things can get heated as we turn that dial to AM.
Piss off, you dickhead.
You're a f***wit.
I've just spoken to a f***ing idiot.
Tom and Ollie's Trash Talk Back Tuesday.
Bringing that trash in here.
You're talking politics in here, Ollie, and I'm, to be honest, I don't really like it. And there's been some feedback on the socials. You can get in touch if you can't get in touch on the phones on 133353 across Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Tom and Ollie. Jeremy has already posted on our wall, Ollie, and said, unfollowing, stay out of politics, Ollie. You'll find a lot of your listeners are conservative. Already turned my radio off.
No.
Always have listened to Triple M, but okay. I can see the agenda pattern forming with Oz Stereo, our parent company.
All right. Well, bye-bye, Jeremy. See you later, buddy, because I don't care.
Ollie, I don't think you should be doing that.
Mate, there's enough conservative, old, crusty old men in this country who are spouting their own agenda when it comes to the environment, when it comes to immigration. And so, yeah, you know what? I don't mind balancing it out by putting a young person spin in it and saying conservatives, alt-right, deep right people, come at me. If you were a fan of Malcolm Turnbull being overthrown, I want to hear why. I want to hear why you think it was a good move. Because
were you supposed to say overthrown and not overthrowed?
Didn't on 133353, you can get involved. Peter.
Please go head to head with Ollie right now. He's quite strung up about this, quite tense, and cannot find the fun in it at all. So let's have a go. Peter.
Yes, I am a bit of a conservative. Yep. But
you're a pig.
I think it stinks. The public should vote in our Prime Minister. Every time we vote someone in, the other politicians go and kick them out and we don't even get a say in it.
Yeah. Well, I bloody agree, Peter. Because we vote for these people.
Hang on, a conservative and a lefty agreeing, Ollie. How can this be?
Well, I mean, Peter, what you're saying is we agree that factional parts of these parties shouldn't be deciding who's the PM.
I do agree with you. I totally agree with you there.
What do you think about the media landscape having a large sway in politics these days?
Oh, that Bolt and Credlin and all of those guys, they played a big part in bringing him down, I'm sure.
Mate, that's what gets me angry, is that the persistent nature in which Malcolm Turnbull was chipped away at by those guys. There's a show on Sky News, Tom, where Peter Credlin, who is Tony Abbott's assistant, basically, or chief of staff, they shit-can him. They go on radio and on TV and they shit-can him.
Instead of me saying something, I'll just let the PM say it.
I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Malcolm cares now that he's unemployed, but let's hear from Steve on 133353.
Oh, Steve, you're big.
Hi, guys. I work in the finance industry, and I think you guys are clowns.
Oh, you're a pig, mate. Yeah. You're an absolute pig.
Mate, you think I'm a pig. You guys are hamsters, seriously.
You run
around on a wheel, and you can't even eat food.
Mate, we call it a guinea pig in Australia. Don't call it a hamster, you pig.
We made so much money, and the tax cuts should come through in the finance industry, because I work in that industry, and I work hard, and my company deserves to pay as minimal tax as possible because we get profits and then people can get their wages increased because then there are more people hired.
Yeah, that's how business works. If you make more money, you'll give it to your employees, won't you?
Mate, Malcolm Turnbull's a clown. He completely betrayed the industry he worked in. He was a banker.
He betrayed the bankers.
I seriously weep for the future of this country. If there are clowns, guinea pigs, or hamsters running and having opinions like this.
So you want Abbott back in to get his chaplaincy program back in schools? Will he save the economy that you think
he's saving? Mate, he's not extreme enough.
Who do you?
We need Corey Bernardi to show some leadership in this country
and get disgusting.
Liberal Party needs to cave into One Nation and really show what leadership is about.
You are disgusting, Steve.
Oh, well, you know.
You can smell the pigsty from here, Steve.
All right, that's enough politics. Can we just all get along and talk naughty?
Sure.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.